Well, a very good evening to you, and another Wednesday evening in lockdown, but we have the privilege, the delight to meet together and to meet around God's word. Well, let's commit our time to the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day's keeping. We thank you that we can come this evening in and through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that in him we have an abundant entrance into your presence, that he has done everything that we could not do, everything required, everything necessary, so that we, sinners though we are, can draw near to you, our God, can this night cry, Abba, Father. And Lord, we've come to worship and to adore and to sit at the feet of Jesus and to learn of him. Father God, we know that we are scattered and in our homes, but we pray that you would, by your Spirit, come and meet with each one of us. We think of that lovely picture of the unity of your people, the oil poured out upon Aaron and flowing over all of him, down to the very edges of his garment. And Lord God, we thank you that our great high priest has been anointed with the oil of the Spirit, the oil of gladness. And as the head has been anointed, so has the body. And we pray that we might know, therefore, the Spirit himself with us, making the many one, and together this night, meeting with you. Bless this time. Meet with us, we pray. Have the glory. Wash away our sins and sprinkle the blood upon our consciences, that we may have full assurance and the calm of sins forgiven this night, because we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 10, and I'm going to read from verse 1 through to verse 18. It's talking about the sacrifices in the Old Testament, priests offering up the sacrifice of animals, and then it speaks of Christ's once for all perfect sacrifice, the priest offering up the sacrifice. So let's read Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1. For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins? But in these sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as is written of me in the scroll of the book. When he said above, you have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law, then he added, behold, I have come to do your will. He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on my mind, on their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Why did Jesus have to die? Well, the answer is he died to take our sins away. Now, the Bible has different words for sins. There is the word transgression. It means a line has been crossed. And we have all crossed the line. We have all broken God's law. Another word which the Bible uses for sin is iniquity. Now, if transgression speaks of things that we have done, crossing the line, laws that we've broken, iniquity describes the person I am. I am twisted, perverse. When God gives me a straight line to walk along it, I can't walk a straight line. I can't give to God a straight answer. I'm twisted, perverse. I'm not a good man, and sometimes I do bad things, which are out of character. I do bad things because I am a bad man. When I do bad things, I am acting in character. That is the person that I am. I say proud things because I am a proud person. And give me the opportunity, I'll have the whole universe revolving around me. So transgression, iniquity. Another word which the Bible uses is lawlessness. So I don't just break God's law, transgression. I'm not just a twisted individual, iniquity. With my whole being, heart, soul, mind, and strength, I rebel against God. I resent the fact that God is God. And who is God to tell me what to do? I am at war with God. Transgression, iniquity, lawlessness. No wonder this world is broken. No wonder I am broken. So what to do about sins? Well, if we are not to go to hell, those sins need to be forgiven. Those sins must be taken away. So the Old Testament prescribed sacrifices and offerings to take those sins away. You're under a death sentence. It's God's death sentence. He's condemned you to death. And so an animal dies in your place. It pays for your crimes. It pays for your sins. Its blood is shed. Its life is given. And with justice done, there's nothing more to pay. Your sins are forgiven. Only they're not. For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins? But in these sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is impossible, says the writer of the Hebrews, for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. You have a cough, so you're given cough medicine. You take your cough medicine every day because you have a cough. After 5 years, you're still taking your cough medicine because you still have a cough. So obviously the cough medicine you're using doesn't take away your cough. Each time you take your cough medicine, it's a reminder that you have a cough. So you, a human being, have sinned. So how can the death, how can the blood of a dumb animal take away your sin? Clearly it can't. And every time that sacrifice is offered, it's just a reminder that your sins haven't been taken away. Because if they had been taken away, you wouldn't have to keep on offering a sacrifice. The repetition of a sacrifice shows that sin hasn't been taken away. So you're still condemned. And as the writer says, the offerers still felt it. They still had a consciousness of sins. But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. But now, verses 5 to 7, Jesus comes to offer the perfect sacrifice that really does take away sins. You see, it's human beings that have sinned. And so God's Son, his eternal Son, enters this world as a human being. A human being, therefore, with a human body. A body that can bleed and suffer and die. As God's Son, he can therefore die the punishing death that sinners deserve to die. Verse 5, consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as is written of me in the scroll of the book." It's quoting from Psalm 40. Here is Jesus, a human being, God's Son, eternally God, but has become a man, completely surrendered to God's will. He never sinned. He therefore had no sins to die for. In everything he did, he always glorified the Father. He always did those things that pleased him. Satan could find nothing in him. And he was therefore able to offer up the perfect sacrifice for the sins of his people. The offering up of himself. So, verse 11. Every priest stands daily at his service. He's talking about the Old Testament priests. Offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. No longer standing, sitting down. No more sacrifices. The work is complete. Waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Jesus is the sacrifice to which all those Old Testament sacrifices pointed. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's the Passover lamb. He's perfect, a lamb without blemish or spot. And it's his blood that shields us from the judgment of God, from the wrath of God. It's the shedding of his blood that redeems us from our slavery and brings us out of Egypt. He's the scapegoat that carries our sins far away into the land of God's forgetfulness. And he's the burnt offering, utterly surrendered to God, exposed, vulnerable to all that our sins deserve. So can you see him standing before the altar upon which his blood is to be shed? Can you see him before the cross? The cross will be the altar where his blood is spilt. And here he is. He's the high priest, the perfect high priest, the perfect high priest offering up the perfect sacrifice, offering up the sacrifice of himself. Come to do the Father's will. Then I say, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. Father, your law is broken. Justice must be done. Father, your people must be saved. so love must abound. Justice, God's justice, justice which cannot yield. God must be vindicated. His justice must be magnified. Justice cannot yield. But there is his love for his people, the people he has given to his son. And his love cannot yield. And justice and love neither will yield. And they meet in this bloody embrace at the cross. And he's crushed between them. His body is broken. His blood is shed. So that God's justice is vindicated. So that God's love for sinners is manifested. So can you see him? He lays himself upon the altar. Lord, take what ought to be taken. Let your fire consume the sacrifice. Let justice be done. Let grace abound. Let my blood flow. Let your name be exalted. And in that sacrifice, he adores the Father. In that sacrifice, he gives himself up upon the altar and returns to the bosom of the Father. Jesus nailed to a cross. But on that cross, he's not a passive victim. On that cross, he is the priest offering up the sacrifice of himself. He is the priest engaged in this beautiful act of worship, the giving of himself to his Father, holy and acceptable. The writer, or Paul, writing in Ephesians, says, Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Here's the perfect sacrifice that perfectly fulfills the will of God, that perfectly takes away sins. A human body, a human being, but a life of infinite value because he's God's Son. A life of infinite value for the lives of the many. And the Father requires no more. There's no unfinished business. Those Old Testament sacrifices, the cough with the cough medicine, decades, centuries, an endless stream of animals shedding of blood. But each time the worshipper had no final sense of forgiveness, no full consciousness and awareness of the calm of sins forgiven. And every repetition of the sacrifice told him only that his sin had yet to be forgiven. But here is Jesus, the offerer of the perfect sacrifice. Every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But Christ, when he offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, his death upon the cross, sat down. You sit down when the work is done. The priest's work is finished. Or at least that part of the priest's work is finished. Sat down at the right hand of God. One of those great words from the cross, tetelestai, finished, done. Waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And that's why it therefore says, the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, speaking about this new covenant, and then adding in the words of this new covenant, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. In other words, we can live all our days with the calm of sins forgiven. It's wonderful, isn't it? Do you remember those words we had for sin? Transgression, iniquity. We're lawless rebels. We've gone to war against God. And all of it leading to a brokenness, broken lives, broken hearts, broken families, broken communities, a broken body, a body that's aging, decaying, there's dysfunction, disease, and ultimately death. Well, what do we read? We've read these words so often. But now think about it. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. No more war. Peace with God. And by his wounds, we are healed. Our transgressions have been dealt with. Our iniquities have been dealt with. We once rebels, but now we're friends. Peace with God. And the healing has already begun, hasn't it? And one day the healing will be complete. No more mourning or crying or pain. No more death. Because of that one sacrifice. Because he came into the world and said, I've come to do your will, O God. And it was the pleasure of the Father that his Son should offer himself up as a sacrifice for sin. And it was the Son's pleasure to offer himself to his Father in this glorious, extraordinary act of worship. And in that, our sins have been taken away. Blessed be his name. So how do we respond? Well, Hebrews, how about Romans? Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Jesus, the high priest, offers up the sacrifice of himself. And we as priests, we too are to offer sacrifices, the sacrifice of ourselves. Christ's death upon the cross is unique. It is for sins. But as forgiven sinners, we now offer up the sacrifice, living sacrifices, of ourselves. I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as living sacrifices. Lord, after all that you've done for us, after all you've done for me, I freely give myself back to you. I no longer belong to me. I belong to you. We offer ourselves up as priests, we offer to you free will offerings, joyful sacrifices. Every day is to be a daily offering, a daily act of worship for your pleasure, for your glory. My life is now a life that's given to you, a life of complete surrender. I'm no longer my own. I'm devoted to God for his exclusive use, a fragrant offering to God. Another week in lockdown? Oh, lockdown. But if we get this, it transforms lockdown. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will. As living sacrifices, we're here to do his will. And that changes everything. It turns the routines of lockdown, well, it turns them into gold. Because everything now we do is an act of self-giving to God. Everything we do is an act of worship for his pleasure, for his glory, for his delight. Now I'm in the kitchen. In my kitchen there are lots of windows. There are two ways of looking at those windows. I can focus on the glass, and if I focus on this particular window here, I can see there are various drips on the window. It's also a bit dusty, and where it's been painted, there's been a few bits that are just a few flecks of paint on the glass. So I focus on the glass, it needs a clean. Or I can look through the glass. I can look through the window. What do I see? There are roses and flowers. And during this study, misbehaving cats. But I can look through. Two ways of looking at the window. I can focus on the glass that needs a clean. I can look through the glass and see the garden beyond. So in lockdown, you can focus on the glass, can't you? You know, just another weary day, same four walls, same old wife, same old husband, same old singleness, kids messing up the home again, maybe loneliness, the chores that I have to do. Oh, the microwave of Zoom meetings. Do you find them exhausting? I find them exhausting. All those faces looking back at me. Same old treadmill. Do I really want to put myself out? Do I want to pick up the phone and give that person a ring? Because I know it'll encourage them. Actually, we haven't chatted for ages. Do I want to be bothered to write that card? Or just to send a text? Or maybe bake a cake, you know? I know what a difference it would make, but... Or maybe... So I want to be bothered just to drop by and, okay, they can stand on the doorstep and I'll stand by the garden gate and we're more than 2 metres apart, but just to see one another and just to talk. Do I want to be bothered to do that? You see, if we only see the glass, the dirty glass, the messy glass, you'll resent having to do those things. It's just like another thing to have to do. But look through the glass. Look through the window. You won't see the garden, but you will see that all that you do is for him. Do you think those good works he's prepared beforehand have stopped at lockdown? You know, there's this whole wonderful good works that God has uniquely, bespokely prepared for you beforehand, so you should walk in them. Do you think those good works that he prepared stopped at lockdown? That lockdown has caught him by surprise. No, he's prepared good works for you to do during lockdown. Who knows? They may be particularly special works, particularly good things, things that carry with them a fragrance and a beauty and a wonder which isn't seen in other times. So what opportunities I have to serve the Lord during lockdown? What opportunities he's given to me? Well, let me then do them. Not looking at the glass and seeing another thing I have to do, but looking through the glass and saying, this is for him. When I do this, I'm doing it for the King. I have the highest motive of all. It's for the Lord. This is for Jesus. This is for my King. This is a free will offering to the one I love. And maybe the harder it is, the greater the opportunity there is to show my love. Oh, Lord, I do this for you. And you know what? As I do it, what do I find? I find he gives me the grace to do it. And as I've done it, and as I go about it, I find that he pours a supernatural joy into what I'm doing. You know, we feel that happiness is in our own hands. We can make ourselves happy or unhappy. But joy is not in my hands. Joy is given. And as I serve the Lord, he pours in this joy inexpressible, because it has a touch of heaven upon it. Joy inexpressible and full of glory. He pours it into my acts. And you know what I find? I find this situation has become an altar. An altar upon which I can offer myself to the one I love for his glory. And it turns the treadmill of lockdown into gold. Maybe that's something that's worth talking about for maybe 10 minutes in our fellowship group. And if I'm not sure what to do, well, pray, Lord, help me. Help me to see through the window. Help me to see what I'm really doing, what lies beyond. Behold, I've come to do your will. Come to bring you pleasure. This situation is an altar upon which I can offer up an act of worship to the one that I love. Show me, Lord, how to love and serve you. There's an old hymn. Teach me, my God and King, in all things thee to see, and what I do in anything, to do it as for thee. A man that looks on glass, on it may stay his eye, or if he pleaseth, through it pass, and then the heaven espy. Or may of thee partake, nothing can be so mean, which with this tincture, for thy sake, will not grow bright and clean. A servant with this clause makes drudgery divine, who sweeps a room as for thy laws, makes that and the action fine. This is the famous stone that turneth all to gold, for that which God doth touch and own cannot or less be told. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we worship you, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you for your Son. We thank you that he's offered up the perfect sacrifice for sin. He's offered up in his very self, he shed his blood, and he's washed away our transgressions. Oh, gracious God, when we think that he was crushed for our iniquities, the brokenness, the crushing of his humanity, and it was for us. Oh, Lord, what love is this? Love divine, all loves excelling. We pray that, Lord, today, in the days to come, this love would again conquer our hearts. And that, Lord, we'll be brought again to that place where all we can say is, Lord, take me, take all of me, for your pleasure, for your glory, for your use. Lord, we would not be our own, but only and utterly and wholly for yourself, that our lives may be an act of worship. Until that day when we leave this world and the sacrifice is complete, and then to service above, O Lord, for grace, for more of your Spirit, to show by our lives the wonders, the glory, the beauty of our King. Lord, write these things upon our hearts. Change us forever. Continue with us now, because we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.